Today I would like to report on a method that we have used recently to do a study on using yeast to reduce stickiness. Now, originally I was planning to combine this in the following paper as a single presentation, but instead of rushing through two ideas and confusing everyone, I decided to make two less hurried presentations and just confuse everyone twice instead of once. Now, by way of introduction, a major difficulty in studying sticky cotton in the laboratory is acquiring sticky cotton. Now, it seems as though when a person wants to study some aspect of the sticky cotton problem, that all of a sudden, none is to be had. Well, we have been fortunate in the past that if I needed sticky cotton, I'd just call California, and a friend of mine would send me some sticky cotton because he had been growing cotton under greenhouse conditions with whiteflies. Well, that doesn't always work out. Under other conditions, the most common way of getting sticky cotton is to simply collect it from many different regions of the country and usually over several growing seasons. Then these cottons are tested and sorted to the degree of stickiness required by the study. And this approach seems quite simple enough. But really it's a little more difficult than you would think. For one reason, a lot of growers don't like to disclose that they have sticky cotton, and stickiness is not one of the qualities listed by AMS, for instance. Our location has been dealing with sticky cottons for a long time, and actually the basic idea behind this work has been presented before by J.D. Bergeron around 2002. But unfortunately, I couldn't find any reference to J.D.'s work to cite or to use as the basis when I began. And J.D.'s approach was quite simple. What he did was he blended non-sticky bales with sticky bales to get bales of varying degrees of stickiness for his work. And as you may have recalled, essentially the premise is based on the recommendation made by Henry Perkins to reduce problems associated with sticky cottons at the mills. Henry recommended that sticky cotton be diluted with non-sticky cotton so that stickiness would be reduced enough that the mills could process the blended cotton. Now, this sounds pretty simple today, but before Henry retired and when sticky cottons arrived at the mills, this advice was repeated many times. As described in many of the Beltwides before, stickiness is determined by many means, which include the pH spray indicator, the Benedict test, the USDA potassium ferrocyanide test, the thermodetector test, rotor rings, the mini card, and probably several other methods. But for the most part, I think most of us will agree the gold standard is the mini card. For the most part, this is the reference that other tests are compared against. And of course, the major limitation is that very few of these machines exist, and it needs to be operated by someone who is skilled at making mini card stickiness ratings. There are approximately five things that you look at when trying to decide the mini card stickiness rating. First, based on the number of times stickiness occurs. Second, the size of the sticky masses. Third, the tendency of the fiber web to wrap around the delivery rows. Fourth, time for stickiness to develop and intensify. And fifth, the amount of residues and fiber masses remaining on the delivery rows after the test. So essentially with the mini card, there are four broad categories. Zero is pretty self-explanatory. The cotton sample is passed through the mini card and there is no stickiness to the delivery rows. Naturally, this is what everyone would like. Category 1 is light stickiness. In this case, the sample sticks around 5 to 15 times, and most of the sticky specks are small, and there's little tendency for the web to wrap around the delivery roll. 2 is moderate stickiness. Here, the cotton may stick between 16 and 25 times, and the specks may vary in size, and the web often makes several revolutions around the delivery roll. Sticky residue and fiber masses may be left on the rows after the test. Absolutely, the thing you never want to get is category 3. This is heavy stickiness. With heavy stickiness, stickiness begins immediately when the web passes through the mini card and gets progressively worse during the test. The sample may stick 26 times and more, and large numbers of small and large sticky masses are left on the delivery rows after testing. Just as an example, the top picture is an example of cotton showing a mini card zero rating. And as you can see, the web is passed through the mini card very nicely. That's an example. The bottom picture is an example of category 3, lots of wrapping. If you look closely, there's a lot of junk left on the rows, and it's pretty sticky. And it starts almost immediately, and it gets worse as the cotton is passed through the mini card. So, as you can imagine, between these two extremes, a skilled operator can usually subjectively grade levels of stickiness between these four broad categories. So an in-house mini card index was adopted, and most of our operators uses pluses to indicate degrees of stickiness greater than the category the sample matches. For instance, if a cotton is judged to have a light stickiness, but was just not sticking or wrapping around the delivery rows or leaving sufficient sticky residues to be rated as a number 2, the moderate sticky category, the operator may rate that cotton as a 1++, or even a 1++++, depending upon how much more sticky the sample appears to be above a simple 1 category. So for the purposes of this study, an in-house mini card index was used. It was simplest put, the mini card index is based on the mini card rating plus 0.33 for each subjectively assigned plus. For example, a 3++++ will be valued at a 3.99, and a 2+ cotton will be valued at a 2.33. Once this in-house mini card index was working, we started making sticky cotton. The approach, as I indicated earlier, is very simple. A non-sticky batch of cotton was blended with a heavy sticky cotton. We used sticky bales we had from previous study that we happened to have on hand, and the same with the non-sticky cotton. These were both Pima cottons. Now, for the heavy sticky cotton, we used one of the two bales of heavy sticky cotton, which was from the 2001 harvest year from California. For the non-sticky cotton, we started out with a non-sticky cotton which had been described previously. Unfortunately, as you can imagine, with a lot of blending involved, we completely deleted our source and had to go to a new stock of non-sticky cotton, which was purchased in 2005 from the 2004 harvest year from the San Joaquin Valley. When we did do blending and testing, we found that essentially there was no difference using this new non-sticky cotton than the previously non-sticky cotton. Now, through the process of trial and error, mixtures of sticky and non-sticky cottons were blended to create a step series of 7 sticky cotton sample lots. Initially, the mix was by trial and error, but once a stepped series of sticky cotton lots was achieved, the approximate levels of the same stickiness were found to be reproducible. Specifically, the sticky and non-sticky cottons were made as 50-gram lots, and then these lots were blended twice in a Shirley analyzer. 50-gram lots were chosen for convenience, but other sample size could be created using the same ratio of sticky to non-sticky cottons. As you can see, this approach successfully provided cottons of at least 7 levels of stickiness. These cotton lots can be made with a great deal of consistency in regard to stickiness, and the lots are distinctly different from each other. Now, it should be noted that our starting sticky cotton was a very sticky cotton. Even when it was mixed in a 1:49 ratio, the cotton blend still amounted to a mini card rating of 1, a lightly sticky cotton. So, let me give you an aside. To get those earlier pictures of the mini card with the 0 rating and the category 3 rating, I took a picture of the category 3 rating, and I thought to myself, why not get a zero rating picture also? And then I got this really awful glare from Maddie, our technician, because it took her almost a half an hour to clear the machine out so she could run non-sticky cotton to get a zero category rating. But anyhow, away from that aside, so these are the ratios that produce these levels of stickiness. Naturally, if we were to start over with a different starter bale of sticky cotton, we would have to determine a new set of ratios to produce a new series of sticky lots. Also, if levels of stickiness between these stickiness levels were desired, it's a simple matter of doing trial and error mixtures to get something between, say, lot 1 and 2. Once the desired ratio is determined, additional lots of the same stickiness can be made as desired for future studies. In summary, we have presented a simple approach for providing sticky cottons of varying degrees of stickiness as needed for laboratory scale studies. The method is simple to determine the ratio of sticky to non-sticky cotton, which when blended together will provide the desired amount and degree of stickiness. Using the same sources of cotton, additional batches of sticky cottons with the same approximate stickiness levels can be made when needed, and naturally the desired ratios would have to be determined when non-sticky and sticky cotton sources are changed. But once the ratios are determined, similar sticky lots can be made as needed. And unless you have more questions, I'll jump into the next one.